While the number of farm bankruptcies decreased nationally in 2020 compared to 2019, the industry is far from out of the woods, according to an analysis by the Farm Bureau's chief economist, John Newton, who joins us now for insight into New York's bankruptcy data and how it fits in with the rest of the country. Welcome to the show, John.
Thanks for having me.
So for starters, you know, when we think about bankruptcy, what conditions could lead a farm owner to declare bankruptcy as opposed to selling their property or other potential options? And what is the consequence of a Chapter 12 bankruptcy by a farm?
Well, I think it's a long road for a farmer to get to the point where Chapter 12 bankruptcy is an option. Oftentimes, you're working with your lender to try to find ways to potentially cut costs or streamline your operation. You could potentially liquidate some of your assets that you may have to pay down debt. But ultimately, Chapter 12 is kind of the last decision that a farmer is going to make after they've exercised all other options. And what it does is it gives the farmer, a farm family, an opportunity to reorganize their debt and identify a repayment plan over a 3 to 5 year period to hopefully successfully complete that bankruptcy and keep the farm in the family.
And you say the family farms, when we're talking about these bankruptcies, is that generally the case? These are family farms and not big conglomerate farming operations?
Well, these are this particular code of bankruptcy is for family farms and family fisheries with debt levels around $10 million or less. So, and it's also important to note that, you know, 98% of the farms in the United States are family farms.
So looking at the data for 2020, how many farm bankruptcies were there in New York, and how did that compare to bankruptcies around the country?
Well, for 2020, you know, New York had 8 Chapter 12 bankruptcy filings. That was down about 12 filings from what we saw last year. And compared to the, you know, rest of the country, bankruptcy rates were a lot higher in places like Wisconsin, Minnesota, northern Iowa, and parts of the western Corn Belt. So, and it's also important to note that while these bankruptcies are the third highest that we've seen, you know, over the last decade, it's still, you know, a small segment of the farm population. About 3 farms per 10,000 filed for bankruptcy in 2020.
So should we look at that as encouraging news or something else?
It's certainly, you know, not encouraging news. You know, anytime, you know, a farm operation is faced with this decision, it's because they've, you know, been on a fairly difficult road financially. So I think it's just important to put it into context that, you know, this isn't the 1980s when we had, you know, 7 or 8 farm bankruptcies per 10,000 farms. That was when bankruptcies were the highest that we've seen in the past, was the farm crisis of the 80s.
Looking at the map that was produced by the American Farm Bureau Federation, you see that there's, I think, 8 bankruptcies sort of targeted in the central New York to northern New York area, but there's a dashed line sort of covering the western New York area and through the Hudson Valley on south and east. What does that mean? Does that speak to where the bankruptcies were?
That's exactly right. So the map is broken out by circuit and district court. So you had 8 filings there in that central northern New York region, but western New York, you didn't have any. You had a reduction in filings in that part of 4. And then in southern New York, you had didn't have any Chapter 12 bankruptcies, and that was 3 fewer than what you saw last year. So that's what that is. It allows us to look more granularly at the bankruptcy data.
Going, you know, that sort of change, it's kind of small in terms of, I guess, like a sample size. So should we look at that as a real positive win, or because we're going from like 3 to 0 in one region, is that all sort of in like the same sort of margin?
Anytime a farm family's faced with this decision, it's you know, it's a difficult one, and you know, we're talking about, you know, 12 fewer filings in New York in 2020 compared to 2019. So we monitor this because it's been, you know, a pretty tough farm economy for the last 5 or 6 years, and this is one but not the only indicator that you monitor in terms of farm stress and farm financial conditions in the United States.
a lot of sectors were propped up in 2020 with federal aid. Was that the case with the agriculture sector as well?
So the CARES Act that we saw in March did provide some ad hoc support to the agricultural industry. You also had agricultural businesses that were able to access the Paycheck Protection Program this year as well. So, you know, when you look across the economy, a lot of sectors needed support, and agriculture was certainly one of them, given the demand destruction that we saw, you know, with the closure of restaurants and schools across the country.
We're obviously still very early in 2021, but are there any early indicators whether this will be a good or bad year for farms?
What we've seen in the last few months is, you know, export demand, especially to China, has been, you know, pretty strong this year. They bought a lot of animal protein products. They bought a lot of grain and oil seeds. So prices are kind of trending up right now, which has led to, you know, a favorable outlook for 2021 in terms of cash receipts in agriculture. The other side of the coin, however, is production expenses are also going up. Whether that's making sure you've got enough PPE equipment on the farm to mitigate COVID-19 or higher fuel expenses, higher fertilizer prices, or if you're a dairy operation, for example, say in New York, higher feed costs. So we're seeing production increases, production cost increases going up as well.
You mentioned that farm bankruptcies are often the things that are years in the making, and I think about New York, where we've had some major changes in terms of the rules governing agriculture, such as new overtime thresholds that took effect last year. You know, without getting into the specifics of it, is it possible, because of what you said, how these processes can take years, that things like the new overtime rules might not be seen overnight in terms of having an effect on bankruptcies, but could be things that could start a process that might be concluded, say, a few years from now?
Well, I think, you know, in this particular example, you know, tighter overtime rules would obviously increase the labor costs. That's going to squeeze the operating margin of the farm even further. So if they're already dealing with low commodity prices, say low milk prices, and then you increase labor costs, that could certainly be a contributing factor to farm financial stress.
The bankruptcy process is supposed to, in the best case scenario, have a path forward for the farms. How often is that the case, though? I mean, are there a lot of success stories when it comes to Chapter 12 bankruptcy?
I had an opportunity to visit with the Association of Chapter 12 trustees, and they polled their members and indicated that, you know, on average, I think Chapter 12 is about 50-60% successful, which means people are able to successfully reorganize and come up with a repayment plan under Chapter 12 bankruptcy.
Is there anything that could be done either, well, probably on a national level, to either make this process more successful long-term or just ensure that family farms are able to avoid this terrible choice?
The best thing is higher prices. You know, I think it's important to remember that, you know, Americans have long enjoyed an abundant, high-quality, and affordable food supply. We spend a small percentage of our disposable income on food, but the farmer gets a small portion of that. The farm share of the food dollar is around, you know, 8 cents on the dollar. So, you know, higher prices would certainly help a farm operation and improve their financial situation. I think that's the first thing. And then in terms of, you know, other things that we've done, you know, Senator Grassley introduced the Family Farm Relief Act that made some changes to the Chapter 12 bankruptcy law that made it easier for farms to use that particular chapter of the bankruptcy code. So those are two things in particular that have helped farms.
Well, we've been speaking with John Newton. He is the chief economist for the U.S. Farm Bureau. John, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.